Our third presenter this morning is Dr. Peter Klaponis. Peter Klaponis is a licensed clinical therapist and assistant director of comprehensive counseling services in West Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. He holds a master's in clinical counseling psychology from LaSalle University in Philadelphia, in general psychology from Capella University in Minneapolis. And Dr. Klaponis has over 15 years of professional experience working with individuals, couples, families, and organizations. He specializes in marriage and family therapy, pastoral counseling, resolving anger, men's issues, and pornography addiction recovery. He is certified in the diagnosis and treatment of sexual addictions by the American Association of Christian Counselors Light University Program and by Dr. Mark Laser's Freedom Begins Here program. Dr. Klaponis has also been a guest on EWTN television programs such as Women of Grace, Franciscan University Presents, and Crossing the Goal. He is a regular guest on Relevant Radio's on-call program. Dr. Klaponis resides in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, with his wife, Maria, and their sons, John and Matthew. Dr. Klaponis travels throughout the United States educating people on how to win the battle against pornography through his Fighting Porn in Our Culture and Winning conference program. He has also published the book, The Pornography Epidemic, A Catholic Approach. He has presented his conferences to numerous dioceses, universities, seminaries, religious communities, men's conferences, parents' groups, and other Catholic organizations. And you can learn more about Dr. Klaponis and help for a pornography addiction at www.integrityrestored.com. Please help me welcome now as our third presenter this morning, Dr. Peter Klaponis.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to talk to all of you. I've got 45 minutes and a lot of ground to cover, so we're just going to dive right in here. As he said, I've actually been in practice for over 17 years now, and I specialize in men's issues, working with Catholic men. And that's led me into actually a specialization in pornography addiction because this is an epidemic in America, not just America, worldwide. And we know this is having an impact on personal lives. It's damaging marriages, families, careers. This is, you know, we're in a crisis right now, and we have to address it. And I'm so glad that this organization has decided to address this. I'm so glad that the NCCB has decided to make this a priority because we need to look at it. Now, in order to talk about pornography, the first thing we have to do is define it. What is porn? You know, a former Supreme Court justice once said, when it comes to pornography, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. So what I do is I define it. I actually use two definitions. The first one is a clinical definition that I use, and the second one is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So let's take a look at my clinical definition. Pornography is any image that leads a person to use another person for their own sexual pleasure. It is devoid of relationship, love, and intimacy, and it can be highly addictive. Now, the key word here is use, using another person. Pope John Paul II wrote that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's use, using people. And this is what pornography is all about. When a man is looking at online pornography, he's looking at that woman. He's not thinking that that's a person with thoughts and feelings. He's not thinking that that's somebody's daughter. He's certainly not thinking about the terrible circumstances that led this woman into pornography. And they are terrible. I don't know of any healthy young woman who would say she wants to grow up to be a porn star. He's not thinking about that. All he knows is that she's there for his sexual pleasure and he's going to use her. This is it. Now, also looking at this definition, any image that leads a person to use another person for their own sexual pleasure, does that image have to be of someone who is unclothed? No. Could be a day at the beach, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, whatever. It's about using. Now, the other definition that I like is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I have to read this one because it's long, but I love the way it encompasses everything. Pornography consists of removing real or simulated sexual acts from the intimacy of the partners. There's no intimacy, there's no love, it's just use. In order to display them deliberately to third parties. It offends against chastity because it perverts the conjugal act, the intimate giving of spouses to each other. That's not what we find in pornography. In pornography, what we find is men using women in very violent sexual ways. It does grave injury to the dignity of its participants, since each one becomes an object of base pleasure. That's all they are. They're just objectified. It's all about base pleasure. What I want, me, selfishness. An illicit profit for others. And we've seen the profits. They're huge. They're huge. It immerses all who are involved in the illusion of a fantasy world. It's not real. It's an illusion. But we're buying into that illusion. Civil authorities should prevent the production and distribution of pornographic materials. You know, and that's what Patrick Truman's trying to do. Now, this definition is over 20 years old. I'm sure if it were rewritten today, it would talk a lot about the addictiveness of pornography, because we now know that pornography is an addictive substance. So where does pornography enter our lives? Well, it seems like from every direction. Television, the computer, the internet, social media, video games, cell phones, print media, advertising, popular music, clothing. We find it all over. Why is that? Sex sells. It's all about the money. It's not about freedom of speech. It's not about art. It's about the money. And as Patrick Truman said, yeah, the pornographers, they're meeting the need of the market. But we're getting it from all directions. Now, what is the damage that pornography does? And I talk about to men pornography and masturbation because they go together. Always. First of all, it turns men in on themselves, damaging their ability to give of themselves as spouses and fathers. It is a selfish pursuit. It prevents men from being the leaders, providers, and protectors that God created them to be. You cannot be a leader, provider, and protector if you are enslaved to anything. And pornography does enslave. It damages male confidence. It harms the ability to see and respect the true beauty of women, of one's wife. It harms that. Now, let me talk about the addictiveness of pornography. And when it comes to the addictiveness, I see the addiction as two sides of a coin. We have the physical side, where the body becomes dependent on pornography and physically craves it. Then we have the emotional side, where pornography is often used to ease emotional pain. And we have to look at this. Let's take a look at the physical side first. First of all, one of the things you have to be aware of is that men and women are wired differently. We are. We're totally different. We men, we are wired to be visually stimulated. We see a beautiful woman walk by, we look. You know, we do that. That's why I had that little character there with the eyes bugging out and the tongue rolling out. Okay. That's what happens. What happens when we do this? Well, there is actually a structure in our brain called the thalamus. And the thalamus has the ability to pick out erotic images. So we could be looking at 1,000 different things. If one of them's erotic, the thalamus is going to pick it out and say, hey, pay attention to this. This is important. Now, when this happens, there is a chemical reaction that occurs in the brains. And the Hahnemans, you know, reviewed those chemicals in the brain so well, I couldn't have done it better. But anyway, when a man looks at this erotic image, dopamine is released into the brain in huge amounts. This mixes with testosterone. It creates a high, a feeling of excitement. This is what happens, similar to other drugs and alcohol, and the brain loves it. Right. Now, a lot of men tell me that whenever they look at an erotic image, it gets burned into their brains. It's up there. That's true. There's a chemical responsible for that, norepinephrine. We call it the snapshot chemical. This is why a man doesn't even need pornography to masturbate. He can just close his eyes and he's got a whole bunch of images up there. This is what happens, right? Now, norepinephrine also sends a message to the autonomic nervous system, which gets the heart beating faster, the breathing gets heavier. Some men may begin to sweat. And, of course, a message is sent down the spinal cord to the genitals for an arousal, for an erection. This is what's happening. Now, with all this going on, there is actually a tension that develops, a physical and an emotional tension that develops that can only be relieved with an orgasm. So the man masturbates. And with the masturbation, with the orgasm, opiate chemicals, endorphins are released into the brain, providing a sense of euphoria. And after it's all over, serotonin levels rise and there's a great sense of relaxation. So what do we have here? When the man's looking at pornography, you have excitement, stimulation, arousal, tension, orgasm, euphoria, relaxation. That is a very powerful drug. Very powerful. And it is highly addictive. Very much so. Now, as with any other type of addiction, soon a tolerance develops. A little isn't enough. You need more of the drug to get the same effect. So what happens? Instead of spending maybe 20 minutes a week viewing pornography, a man is looking at it every day, sometimes for several hours a day. And the type of pornography also gets more extreme, more hardcore, more deviant, more violent. This is what is happening with that tolerance. Now, you may be asking, well, why does a tolerance develop in the first place? It's very simple. The brain is pumping out all this dopamine, and the brain's loving it, and it's having a good time. But the rest of the body realizes that that's not normal. So the body says, hey, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. We're just going to shut off the dopamine. But the brain says, no, 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 don't do that. We love this. We want more. We want to keep this going. So the drug has to get stronger to keep the dopamine flowing. Now, before I get into dependence, I want to talk about the tolerance here. For many men, after a while, the tolerance develops to a point where looking at it is not enough. Now they want to go and they want to experience this live. And this is where men will start to go to strip clubs, prostitutes, extramarital affairs, all of these types of things. And what's interesting, I'm sure you may have, maybe you haven't noticed this. I noticed this because of the line of work I'm in, but over the past 5 to 10 years, there have been a lot of strip clubs opening up across the United States. In every city, you're seeing more and more strip clubs. Why is that? You know, it's because of the men who are addicted to pornography. It's the natural extension of the addiction. And then from the strip clubs, they go to the prostitutes, the extramarital affairs, anonymous sexual encounters, all of this. This is what we're happening, and it's starting with the pornography. Now, as with any other addiction, after a while, a tolerance develops. A dependence develops on the stuff. Where the man actually physically craves the pornography. What has happened is his brain has become so accustomed to operating at such a high level of chemical stimulation that he needs to keep it going just to function in daily life. It's no longer about getting the high. It's about regular functioning. And if he doesn't get the regular fix, there will be withdrawal symptoms. Symptoms such as depression, anxiety, insomnia, difficulty with concentration, headaches, stomach aches, irritability. This is what is happening to men out there. I've worked with several men who talk about needing to get a regular fix. I was working with one man, and he knew if he didn't get his regular fix a couple times a day, he wouldn't be able to do his job. He wouldn't be able to function. Now, he knew that his company was monitoring their computer system. So what did he do? Every day at lunch, he'd go out to his car, which is parked in the far end of the parking lot, pull out his cell phone, look at pornography, and masturbate. That's what he needed to do. He needed the fix. His brain had become so dependent on that dopamine. This is what we're looking at. So when it comes to the addiction, yeah, we have the use, we have the chemical reactions in the brain, you have dependence, you have tolerance, and you have dependence. Now let's talk about the other side of the coin. This is the emotional side, the emotional addiction. Now a lot of men, when they view pornography, they view it as simply adult entertainment. You know, everybody does it. It's everywhere on the internet, on TV. You know, what's the big deal? But for a lot of these men, what they're really doing is using the pornography to ease some type of deep emotional pain. Many of them don't even know the pain's there. They live with it for so long, all their lives, they don't know that it's there. But one day they discover pornography, Why? Because everybody's doing it. And there's this little part of them deep down inside that says, hey, this eases the pain. This makes us feel really good. Let's keep going back to this. And you need to keep going back because obviously the effects are temporary. But what's happening is, again, he's needing it to ease that emotional pain. To keep that pain at bay, he has to keep going back over and over again. Here's where he becomes emotionally addicted, emotionally dependent to the pornography. So what are some of the common emotional wounds that we find in people? Well, the first one I put down here is selfishness. Because we have a whole culture that is extremely selfish, there's this great sense of entitlement. And I'll talk more about that. This afternoon I'm going to have another talk. I'll talk more about that. But we have family of origin wounds. What are they? Abuse, addiction in the family, divorce, abandonment, rejection. There's so many deep family wounds that people carry. A lot of times they're not even aware of it. Right? Divorce is a deep emotional wound that millions of people in our culture are struggling with. And because it's so common, they think of it, they say, what's the big deal? My parents divorced. No, there are deep wounds there. There are other wounds, loneliness, male insecurity, poor body image, marital conflicts, excessive pressures at work and at home, a weak spiritual life, not knowing that God loves you, right? Perfectionism, grief, anger, mistrust of women or men, a lack of sense of fulfillment in life, and a lack of sexual confidence. These are the common conflicts that I've found, and it's in all the research too. Now what happens is a person struggles with a lot of these deep emotional wounds. What do these wounds do? They feed into five core beliefs. All right. Number one, I'm unworthy of being loved. Number two, if people really knew me, they would reject me. Number three, I can't trust anyone, including God, to meet my needs. Number four, I must find something that I can control to meet my needs. And therefore, number five, pornography and sex are my greatest need and source of comfort. And this is common with any addiction. You could take up pornography and sex. You could put in alcohol. You could put in drugs, gambling, food, shopping, video games now, anything. And this is what gets the man into the pornography, keeps him going back. Now, the more you keep getting into that pornography to ease that emotional pain, you know, we go to the other side of the coin, the more you have the opportunity for that physical side of the addiction to kick in. That's why it's two sides of a coin, physical and emotional, that we need to address. And this is the problem. Now, let's talk about women and pornography. Now, I have a couple statistics. I'm not going to really go over them much because we already talked about it. But women keeping their cyber sex activities a secret, 70%. Women struggling with pornography addiction, 17%. And the ratio of women to men favoring chat rooms, 2 times. Right. The percentage of visitors to adult websites who are women, 1 in 3. Women accessing adult websites at work each month, 9.4 million. And women who admit women accessing adult websites each month is 9.4 million, and women who admit to accessing pornography at work, 13%. Right? This is a problem for women, and it is growing. Right? Let's talk about women and pornography and sexual addiction. Now, women are not as visually stimulated as men. You know, yes, a woman likes looking at a good-looking man, but she does not have the brain chemistry that the man has in that regard. Women are more relationally stimulated. They are looking for relationships. They prefer a fantasy world where they can take part in a relationship. This is why women like romance novels, soap operas, you know, the chick flicks, the reality TV. How many of you are familiar with the book series 50 Shades of Grey? Anybody? Yeah. That's really pornography wrapped up in a relationship, disguised as a relationship. This is what it is. Now, because of this, even though there are women today who are looking at the visual pornography, like men are, a lot of them instead, they're getting into online chatting, the chat rooms, the social media. Why? Well, when they're getting into the chat room, what they're doing is they're getting into a very sexual relationship. Essentially, what they're doing is they're writing their own romance novel, and they're the heroine. And this is what women are becoming addicted to. Now, this is actually more dangerous for women than for men, because what we found is women are actually more apt to want to go out and meet the men that they've met online than men are, which could put them in a very dangerous situation, because a woman could be thinking she's going to go out to this wonderful romantic rendezvous with this great guy she met online, when in reality she could be meeting up with a serial rapist or even a murderer. These things are happening. And this is because of the pornography that's out there. So, again, women become addicted to the erotic romantic relationships, and it is extremely dangerous. Now let's talk about wives. How does pornography addiction affect wives? And this is devastating. First of all, when a wife discovers her husband viewing pornography, she feels hurt, she feels betrayed. For her, it is as serious as an extramarital affair. And most men don't realize this. They're hurt, they feel betrayed. It does a terrible number on their self-esteem, their self-image. Because most of the women in pornography are usually between the ages of 18 and 25. Many of them have had multiple plastic surgeries, and thanks to digital enhancements and makeup, they don't exist in real life. But this is what the men are looking at. Now, you have a woman, married woman, she's maybe in her 30s or 40s, she's had a few children. She's very beautiful, but she's not 18 anymore, and she certainly doesn't look like the women in pornography. And she sees what her husband is viewing, and she thinks to herself, he must think I'm ugly. I must be the ugliest, most unattractive woman on this planet. That hurts deeply, very, very deeply for her. She thinks to herself, how can I compete? How can I compete with this? I've worked with wives who, on discovering their husband's pornography use, they go on crazy diets to lose weight. They go and exercise every day. They go out and they buy all kinds of sexy lingerie. They're trying to compete with the women in pornography, thinking that this is going to help. It doesn't help. It doesn't. Because what happens is the wives get caught up in the same lie that says that in order for them to be attractive and beautiful, they have to look and act like a porn star. This is what is happening in our marriages. They come to view their husbands as untrustworthy and weak role models for their children. How can a wife see her husband as a good role model for her children if she knows he's looking at pornography? If they have sons, she's thinking, well, is he going to allow our sons to look at pornography? And worse, if she has daughters, she's going to think, if he's looking at these women in pornography this way, is he going to look at our daughters the same way? What's going on here? Right. Their whole world gets turned upside down. This man that they thought that they knew all along, all of a sudden becomes a total stranger. Total stranger. Some women actually experience symptoms of severe trauma because of this, post-traumatic stress disorder. Cycling through all kinds of emotions, anger, fear, pain, uncontrollable crying, all kinds of things that hurts a woman. It can lead to severe marital problems and even divorce. You know, we found that pornography plays a significant role in over half the divorces out there. This is what it is doing.